fighting for America.
Good morning, Treasure Valley.
Well, the Valley Women and Children's Shelter has been open since the beginning of February now. We are in need of pretty much everything you use in your day-to-day life, times about 500.
Fighting for Idaho.
Well, I just want to say thank you to you, First Miller, and the generous people of Treasure Valley for keeping the rescue mission lights on and helping us through the summer here.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely. In English translation, that means I know the kind of man you are by the way you walk.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Thank you all. I wish I would have dressed up.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We're so much like Afghanistan. I wish I could write a book about that. Our character is a lot alike. The mountain, desert environment breeds tough people. People who know how to farm here and make a living, and it's hard, but it makes you tough. And it does, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you tougher.
There we have it, Bob Bergdahl from the news conference a couple weeks ago. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Joining us now is Blaine County Commissioner Larry Schoen. Commissioner Schoen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing what has happened in your community. We heard your news conference the other day, caught all over the world, and I figured since we're here like you, supporting the Bergdahls, we would give you an opportunity to speak about what's going on from your perspective and the perspective of the folks in Blaine County.
Well, I appreciate that. I think the news conference had its desired effect. I think things are quieting down now. What my community has always felt is concern about a captive in Afghanistan. What my community has always wanted is to call attention to the fact that he was held there, and bring him home safely. And now that has happened, he's returned to the United States, and I'm sure people are very relieved about that as well.
It's tough for all of us, and you folks in Blaine County, you that know the Bergdahls, we've done some things with them. And when you know the story, when you know the goodness, when you know the people that tie the yellow ribbons or that go to Zanies or that say prayers for Bo's release. I mean, I'm on my way to Reno and I see a big sign for Bo Bergdahl praying for his release. And then we have just the backlash. What goes on in your mind, and how has the community responded to the negativity, sir?
Well, you know, every man and woman who puts on the uniform is a hero, as far as I'm concerned, and I think my community feels the same way. And we have always stood for, as I said, bringing Sergeant Bergdahl home safely. We've always stood by and behind the Bergdahl family. I think it's a warm-hearted, close-knit community. The Bergdahls are our neighbors. And when the backlash erupted around the controversy of his release, I think people were really taken aback by that. Many reporters descended on the town, asked a lot of questions. Really, we're asking people to speak, just people going about their daily lives, asking them to speak on global affairs and what do the Bergdahls think and that kind of thing. And I think people were surprised by the negative reaction. And it and then when threats were issued as the controversy escalated, I think it kind of got out of hand. And now I think things are returning to normal. It's a very supportive community. We have over 100 nonprofits in our community, all trying to do good works. We have an active art scene. It's a beautiful place that people love to visit, regardless of your political persuasion, your political background, or your views. When you come to a community like Haley or Sun Valley, you are welcomed, you're treated warmly, and as I've often said, I, like so many, you come for the scenery and you stay for the community. That's the kind of place it is. Now it's summertime. It's our busiest tourist season. We want people to remember what our community really is all about. And as far as the Bergdahl affair is concerned, I'll just repeat what I've said all along. Don't rush to judgment. Have some confidence in the military investigations that will take place and in the military judicial process, and let's let that unfold. Let's wait and see what the evidence is.
Larry Schoen with us, Blaine County Commissioner Kevin Miller in the morning from his news conference the other day. It must have been emotional for you that live in this community, and for me, I live down here, but again, we're all part of this story when we think of this family that has been waiting for their son to come home, the community getting behind him, people all over the world, all over the country, and then the FBI has to be brought in because of security concerns.
Well, it was emotional for me. Personally, I think I felt a little nervous doing a press conference like that, given the global attention focused on this story. And, in some ways, trying to be a spokesperson for a community of 22,000 is just as tough or tougher as being the spokesperson for a community of 220,000 or 2.2 million, because we all know each other. And my community, just like so many, is divided. There's not a uniformity of opinion about this issue. And so that's why I've urged everybody just to be patient and to remind the world why our community has hung yellow ribbons, put out yellow balloons and signs. It's because we support the family. We never leave a soldier behind on the battlefield. The notoriety happened because we wanted to remind our elected leaders in Washington that this is so. Don't leave our friend, our neighbor, a uniformed soldier behind. When he was released, it was logical hope to celebration and to turn the event that was coincidentally planned for the end of this month to remind the world about his capture into a celebration of relief and joy at his release. And, I don't think people should read anything more into the cancellation than just the idea that, given the attention, there was so much interest in this story that the event was going to grow to a size that was unmanageable for a small community. We're still just a small rural county, albeit a big-hearted one.
Well, and that's the concern, that the community has to deal with the obnoxious national press that, hey, I want to hear your story, I want to hear this, but they have no real interest in the Bergdahls or the community. It's just the freak show.
Well, people are emotional about a thing like this. There are many political aspects to the story. It's one of the most interesting stories, really, one of the most complex stories you can imagine. And at the heart of it is a human being and his family. And we're human beings. We're storytellers. We love stories, and especially compelling stories about people. And so I think the level of interest is really natural. But I will tell you, one thing I've really learned through this experience is there is so much information out there and so much unconfirmed information, and it's really difficult to know what is right and true. I even kind of try to stay away from the word fact and prefer to use the word evidence, because there's a few facts in a story like this, and there's a lot of evidence, and there are always going to be different points of view, and people are certainly entitled to their opinions. But it is important to wait for more information to come out and hear the full story. That's the thing about stories about people. There's always more than one side, and it's important to hear those, I think, before forming conclusions about it.
Well, and the rush to judgment, where we have all these allegations that, whether it's the lack of critical thinking skills, whether it's the broad brush by the mainstream media, not here at 580 KIDO, but in others, where speculation becomes fact, and we can't let the cat, we can't put the cat back in the bag once the cat is gone.
Right. Well, we live in an interesting time, because the ability to comment anonymously on the internet or via social media is kind of a new phenomenon, and I think we're still trying to find our footing with that. The idea that you can just express yourself and the whole world can hear or read what you have to say, it's kind of new. And I don't think really we've learned how to use those tools very well yet. I think some maturity is needed. I think it's time for some news outlets to mature and remember their responsibilities as members of the press. I think it's opinion is one thing, but news reporting is something else.
Finally, what's it like in Blaine County and Haley and Ketchum up there as far as the ground zero? Has it gotten a little lighter lately?
Well, you know, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's cooled off a little bit. It's summertime in Sun Valley. What could be nicer than that? If you've been up here, you know. And I think things are calming down a little bit. I think people are anxious to know what's going to happen next. There seems to be, in the Bergdahl story anyway, there seems to be new information emerging on a regular basis. I know that the Bergdahls are overjoyed that their son has returned to U.S. soil, but still seek to remain very private and allow for his reintegration to take place. There are very few among us who have any sort of idea of what 5 years in captivity under harsh conditions can be like, let alone in remote corners of Afghanistan and Pakistan being held by the Taliban, given everything that we know about that. And so, again, I hope people will be patient. I hope people will remember the very human side of this story as opposed to focusing simply on the politics of it and have some respect and compassion.
Well, and that's the important thing, Commissioner Schoen. We appreciate your time, and thank you for making yourself available.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. There you have it. Blaine County Commissioner Larry Schoen talking about really what's going on in Blaine County and in Haley. And this is something that, unfortunately, our friends in the national media will not get. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. If it leads, it bleeds. Let's throw some more meat on the freak show. Does this change your view? You know, we talk about this here. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. We've talked about the Bergdahl thing, and I had a chance for some personal reflection in the past couple days. And I thought to myself, how many times, and people in this area and other places have come up to me and said, boy, you really stepped in it with them. And I'm going, first of all, what we did was provide you an insight into one young man, an insight into an Idaho family, an insight into people all over the country, raising awareness so this young man could come home. Now, the tough questions are at 580-5436, because someone leaves their post or is accused of being a deserter or it's been confirmed that they have deserted, does that mean you leave them behind? We have seen what the enemy has done. Look at those 15 Iraqi troops that lost their heads yesterday or 2 days ago with the evilness of this enemy. Do we just say, sorry, you made a mistake, we'll be seeing you? Then we have the allegations that he helped the enemy. Do we know that for sure? I don't know. And then you have Bill O'Reilly, a noted commentator, well-respected, saying that Bob Bergdahl looks like a Muslim. Well, okay. We do have Muslim people in America, quite a few. Whether religiously we agree or not, there is something in America where you do get to express yourselves, right? And, of course, Mr. O'Reilly gets his information from whoever Fox sends into the field. But, of course, he didn't know or didn't say that Mr. Bergdahl is a Presbyterian. And you know from our conversations with them, Mr. Bergdahl did a lot of research himself. So getting back to this, aren't we missing the human factor, or are we so intent with what the folks, and they continue, they were on Sean's show last night, they were on with Megyn Kelly, the people from his unit, saying that he deserted and he didn't serve with honor or distinction. I don't believe Bo Bergdahl said that. I believe Susan Rice said that.
But then he walked away in the middle of Afghanistan on the farthest front lines you could be on to go seek out the Taliban.
You feel that was an affront to you, that to say that his service was with honor and distinction?
Saying that that's honorable, saying that walking away, and whatever his agenda was in trying to connect with the Taliban, explain to me how that's honorable.
Seem to be trying to predate it.
I mean, that's spitting in the face to everyone who deployed, came back.
That's every and it goes for every service member.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not even us or his company. Every single person who's in the military.
Well, what do you make of these reports?
Your thoughts, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's continue on. Let's go to traffic at 580.
The DMB Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580-KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. In English translation, that means I know the kind of man you are by the way you walk.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. That's a great thing you're doing with the Boise Rescue Mission. I appreciate it. You know, Kevin, I'd just like to personally thank you for all you do. I think the Treasure Valley owes you a great debt of gratitude.
You're the hero for all of us in the nonprofit world, but particularly for the Boise Rescue Mission. With sincere appreciation to Kevin Miller for your extraordinary efforts to help the Boise Rescue Mission with Miller's mission.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. I wish I would have dressed up, but
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. A few things going on here. We've got the release of the Batman Superman DC Comics theaters. As if we don't have enough superhero movies coming up, that will be happening. You can go to Kevin Miller's Facebook for the details on that story, number one. Number two, Harrison Ford has gotten injured concerning the Millennium Falcon. Apparently in the new Star Wars, he's gotten injured, and apparently it's caused from the Millennium Falcon. We'll have that for you coming up. The thing that's interesting to me, and I saw this a couple days ago, the issue involving Meridian and their big levy, $104 million to renovate Meridian High School, I think to put in another new middle school, a couple other things. That's a lot of money. I talked to somebody, they looked at it and said, oh, they'll get it. They will get it. And we've seen that education is the silver bullet when it comes to Idaho Republicans, when it comes to Idaho conservatives, when it comes to money. You know what I'm saying? Look at what happened in CUNA. The levy was shot down, people got together, and it was reintroduced, and it passed. We saw the same thing in Meridian. We saw the same thing in Boise. We saw it everywhere else. The folks with the educational lobby are very well organized, very well organized. Can they be beat? Can they be stopped? Should they be? Quickly to Tea Party Bob on 580KIDO. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Good morning, Kevin. I might surprise you a little bit on this, but actually I'm for this Meridian bond issue. We need more schools out here. This place has been growing like you can't believe since we moved here in 2004. We voted for the first bond issue, $139 million. This is not a very large tax hike. It's no more than we basically had the last time, but we need more schools out here. The facilities we have for our kids, there just aren't enough of them anymore. I had four grandchildren that have gone to school here. All of them have gone on to college, except for one, which we still have high hopes for. But, you know, a good education draws young people to the community. It actually helps to increase property values as there's competition for housing in prime education areas. You know, we're not just building schools. We're investing in our children and investing in our future. You know, I would much rather see us invest in new facilities than to invest one more dime in Common Core education. The problem that we have with some of the levies is that many times they don't express where that money's actually going to go to. Here we know it's going to buildings. When we have a levy, you know, tell us where it's going to, like they had in CUNA. Specify. But this we know it's going to something good. It's a good time to go out there and run a bond issue. Interest rates are very low. So it's an opportune time. Let's build the schools while we can and not when we have to.
Tea Party Bob, the tax and spender. That's good to hear.
Thanks.
See ya. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
8:37, Kevin Miller in the morning. Quickly to Bob in Eagle. Good morning, Bob. Hello, Bob. All right, Bob in Eagle, thank you for the call. Phone number is here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just waking up, we were talking about the Meridian bond issue. Also, really, what's going on in Congress, and do you think the removal of Eric Cantor as House Majority Leader is going to send a message that, really, America does not want the amnesty issue? America does not want the illegals to become legal and this huge humanitarian crisis. By the way, how in the world did these kids get to America anyway, from Guatemala, from Panama, from all these Central American countries? Did they just walk? Did they just leave their homes? Or is this some orchestrated campaign? Well, we know the answers to that. And it is an orchestrated campaign to pretty much bring in 60, 40, 50, 80,000 people. You know, the other day somebody said to me, don't you feel sorry for the kids? No, I feel sorry for America. As Jeff Sessions has said, as Kevin Miller has said, hey, guys, we can't even employ our own people. Now we're going to have people that are in the country illegally, in the country against the law. But what's the law anymore? Nicola Faber the other day, you know, here saying, well, yeah, I got in the middle of a doorway. You're breaking the law. Well, they chose to arrest us. Well, of course they would choose to arrest you. You broke the law.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls that come on.
Well, you do break the law. You break the law. Right? That's the issue. Breaking the law. Joining us now with the latest on Congress and all things Washington, Jared Halpern, joining us from Fox News Radio at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning to you.
What happened with Eric Cantor? Wow.
You know, everybody seems to have an explanation. I don't know if anybody can explain it, since none of us really saw it coming, huh? You know, obviously, all politics are local. You know, the national stage and leadership is a blessing and a curse. On the one hand, it's a lot of notoriety. It's a lot of power in many cases. It certainly makes you easy to fundraise. On the other hand, it also can lend to you sort of not getting back to your district as much as maybe you should, maybe not paying attention to the district as much as you should. I was kind of reminded, if you recall, in 2012, you know, Michelle Bachmann had the short-lived presidential run, was a prolific fundraiser. I think at one point had raised more money than any other member of the House. And in November of 2012, she won her House seat by a couple thousand votes, much slimmer margin than had ever been. And part of that was attributed to the fact that people in her home district in Minnesota felt that she had lost touch a little bit. And you see that happen, I think, with Eric Cantor as well. It's a blessing and a curse to sort of have that that national notoriety.
Jared, holy Richard Ben Cramer, What It Takes, if you will.
What a tremendous book, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
People have not read it.
A must read for anyone who...
It's going to take you a while.
Yes.
But take the time.
A lot of Bob Dole-isms and Richard Gephardt, we remember him.
George H.W. Bush just jumped out of a helicopter again. A lot of good anecdotes about him as well.
Yeah, a must read. So, I mean, the opponent, Brat, was outspent, what, 120-1, something like that?
I don't even know if you can calculate it. I saw one statistic that the Cantor campaign spent more on, like, steak dinners than Brat's been on the entire campaign. That sort of just goes to the point that, I mean, sometimes it's not how much you threat there. The other thing to take away from this is Eric Cantor, I don't think, was well served by his political advocates, his political advisors. A lot of the ads that he ran were negative in, you know, saying Dave Bratt's name, labeling Dave Bratt this and that. And I think for a lot of people, they thought, oh, there's somebody running against Eric Cantor. Let me check that guy out. Okay. You don't want to be introducing an opponent that may otherwise not have an introduction.
Right. Unless, I guess, you're Mike Simpson here, which worked out well for him. But let's get back to this.
Well, but again, that was another case, too, where, you know, people thought, well, you know, Mike Simpson's not coming back a whole lot. He's awfully Washington. And I just think that that's a sentiment that is felt across the country and is often magnified and amplified in primaries, because primaries don't attract, you know, every voter, right? They usually attract gung-ho, very sure. enthusiastic voters. And if you, as a majority leader or Mike Simpson or whomever, can't elicit, you know, people clamoring to vote for you, and an opponent can get a segment of the population to clamor and vote for them for one reason or the other. That's why politics or primaries are awfully dangerous, even for long-term incumbents. Robert Byrd, this anecdote I think was said Tuesday night during Cantor's defeat, used to say there's only two ways to run elections, unopposed or scared. Sometimes these guys aren't scared enough.
Apparently that wasn't the case for Mr. Cantor. How would you like to have been, though, Jared Halpern, on the other side and working on the Dave Bratt campaign? Here you have a couple guys.
You know his campaign manager, 23 years old?
Yeah.
He was, like, I think, sleeping on Dave Bratt's couch for a while. Was one of two paid staffers on the campaign. But listen, I mean, they did the work, and it was grassroots because, you know, a lot of people look at these Tea Party victories, and they're, you know, I guess they're grassroots, but there's an awful lot of money. You know, these outside conservative groups, these Tea Party linked groups, oftentimes throw a lot of money at these guys anyway and ended up raising, you know, a good deal of money. That wasn't the case here. These outside political groups did not invest hardly anything in Dave Bratt, because I don't think even they thought he had much of a chance, you know.
Right.
Dave Bratt was certainly helped by free media, you know, talk radio folks, Laura Ingraham, a few other, I think Mark Levin, others sort of, you know, got on the Dave Bratt Express, so to speak, and talked a lot about him on their shows. But, I mean, that's still not spending money.
No, I would agree with you. Jared Halpern joining us, 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. So what does this mean to Speaker Boehner and the search for Cantor's replacement?
Well, it sounds like the search for Cantor's replacement is over. Looks like it's going to be Kevin McCarthy, who is currently the number three, so this would just be elevating him one spot. He's a Republican from California. You know, he's seen as a guy who, like Eric Cantor, is able to sort of keep one foot in the establishment, one foot in the maybe more Tea Party, although a lot of Tea Party groups don't like him a whole lot. They wanted somebody that was far removed from leadership to get this post, but it seems like this is definitely Kevin McCarthy's leadership role to lose on Thursday. By all accounts, he's probably going to get it by what's called acclamation. It's almost like a unanimous consent. What will be interesting to watch is then the jockeying that is triggered for his spot now, which is the majority whip. If anybody watched House of Cards, it was Frank Underwood's initial role was majority whip. Obviously that's fictional and largely exaggerated, but it's the position that is in charge of basically getting every Republican in line, which, by the way, Kevin McCarthy has struggled with on some pretty important votes, has he not?
Exactly. No, I was trying to come up, Jared, with the Frank Underwood reference as well that would be appropriate.
I'm glad that we were able to talk about that, yes.
Now,
I actually heard people like talking about, you know, Kevin McCarthy's no Frank Underwood, and I was like, yeah, because nobody is a fictional guy.
Right.
But, you know, it's fine. Yeah,
no one
in the Beltway.
No one has done more to recognize the importance of the whip.
The majority whip.
Than Mr. Underwood.
House of Cards.
All right, Jared, what about our own congressman, Congressman Labrador, who had been rumored to be running muck?
Well,
it's kind of strange. Let me just jump in here.
Card.
But it's weird because wasn't he, like, part of the coup that didn't happen, and now he's
That's
mentioning
right.
this?
Yeah, and now he's sort of trying to listen, I got an email from some conservative groups today that were, you know, putting out the word that, hey, you know, encourage Congressman Labrador to listen, he could probably put his name up, but I don't think it's going to do a whole heck of a lot. I mean, yesterday, Pete Sessions, who seemed to be the viable alternative to Kevin McCarthy, had the backing, it seemed, of the entire Texas delegation, which is considerably larger than Idaho's. And even with all of that support, you know, a veteran lawmaker who's been in Congress a very long time was skipped over for a leadership post just a couple of years ago. All of that seemed like, okay, this may be a fight here between McCarthy and Sessions. And Sessions yesterday put out a statement saying that he just didn't have the support and he didn't want to divide the party. And I think that ultimately there's going to be a lot of pressure on guys like Labrador and anybody else who may be eyeing a challenge, that the last thing that the House Republicans want or need right now is a vicious internal fight over leadership.
I must ask you, though, how did really a congressman who very distinguished, he's been on all the big shows, name pop up yesterday on Fox News Radio all the time? I'm going, is he that much of the it factor there in Washington that his name would be mentioned?
Raul Labrador?
Yeah, that his name would be mentioned.
Well, I think his name's being mentioned because he's mentioning it. You know, I think he probably has asked folks what the interest in him might be. And a lot of, you know, people talk on Capitol Hill, and he is seen certainly as a strong conservative voice, you know, a Tea Party favorite, to be sure. And like I said, there has been a push for somebody outside of leadership to make a move for this leadership post. I mean, if the knock has been that John Boehner and Eric Cantor and Kevin McCarthy were too Wall Street, you know, weren't speaking to the needs of the Tea Party and these conservative groups, there is an argument to be made, why are they elevating the next guy in line? And I think there is certainly at least some in Congress and certainly folks outside of Congress, but these conservative groups that see this as just more of the same and are kind of confused. If Eric Cantor wasn't even able to win his own House seat, why Republican leadership would just go to the next in line and elevate that person who you know, won't carry the same Tea Party credentials, if you will, as somebody like Congressman Labrador or even Congressman Sessions out of Texas.
Yeah, I was surprised that Sessions went down so quickly.
Well, I think that, you know, people talked to him. I don't know who, but I think it was, you know, John Boehner has made it pretty clear that he did not want this to be messy. He wanted it to be done with pretty quick. They didn't want this to be a long, drawn-out process. And I do think that there has been a lot of pressure put on would-be challengers that, listen, you need to think long and hard about if you really want to put up a big, you know, fight that's only going to continue to push this narrative that the House Republicans can't get their act together. And I think that is definitely a consideration. Remember that if you had a failed leadership bid, in other words, if you're Pete Sessions and then you lose to Kevin McCarthy, you know, are you going to have to pay a toll in that? Are you going to be tarnished in some way? Is your committee chairmanship going to be in danger? Is there going to be any sort of, you know, retribution either from folks inside the House or folks outside the House? So that's always, I think, something that is considered before somebody decides whether or not they want to sort of launch a rogue campaign against the presumptive next leader. And remember, Eric Cantor already threw his support behind Kevin McCarthy. So there was already, even before Eric Cantor sort of made this official, an effort underway that should Cantor step down, Kevin McCarthy's our choice. So that movement, he got a jump start, to be sure, on everybody. And I think John Boehner and others said, listen, we don't want this to be a long, drawn-out fight, so figure it out, guys, but make it quick.
Jared Halpern, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too.
All right, Jared Halpern joining us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to traffic at 5:08.
To Boise's constitutional patriot, Mr. Kevin Miller, thank you very much for doing what you're doing.
Earning your trust every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank God it's
And Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up tomorrow from 5 to 8, we'll take a look at what's going on in Iraq.
And so it's that's my greatest concern. I am very optimistic about Iraq. I think it's going to be one of the great achievements of this administration. You're going to see 90,000 American troops come marching home by the end of the summer. You're going to see a stable government in Iraq that is actually moving toward a representative government.
And there you have it, the vice president on that. Let's go to traffic now at 580 KIDO. And as we leave you this morning, we won't go to let's stop the history of rock and roll. Let's have a tribute to our great troops that we love, those that served in Iraq and everywhere else. God bless.
We're so appreciative for each and every person out there and that's dedicated some time to thinking about us or sending us something.
I just miss my family. I just miss my wife, Megan, and my kids.
We are over here trying to better the world.
Well, I love everyone. I miss them very much. God bless.
I just really miss my wife and my kids. Basically, it's just Kayla Livingston, Mallory Livingston, McKenna Livingston, and Bryce Livingston.
We miss you guys as much as you miss us, and we can't wait to get back.
We all miss you. We all want to be home right now.
You don't know how good you have it. Life is really good at home.
My wife, Sandra, and my two beautiful kids, that I love them and miss them.
There we have it. They came home. To those that didn't, thank you. God bless. And to those of us that are here, we've got to continue to fight. Keep the faith. Have a great day.